Norma. She is always fun, informative, thought-provoking, wise, amazing.
All right, already.
Intuitive. And a great person to go for dinner or to a movie. So Norma is going to speak on belonging today. And I hope that I belong in one of her groups of friends.
You certainly do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. Oh, hi, everybody. Oh, the people who came in later. Just because I like to walk around. I get myself settled here. It is so good to be back. Do you know, last weekend was a long weekend. I still got my timing right, wasn't it? Time is kind of weird. That was 4 years ago, that weekend that I moved here full time. And in my travels, which have been many this year, people would say to me, especially when I was on the coast, kind of like, aren't you wanting to come back down? And it's like, no, this is home. This is where I feel like I belong. Whenever I'm traveling back from Alberta or from Vancouver, it's like as soon as I get near the valley, my heart sings. So this is like, in a sense, at this moment of time, trustingly probably to the end, this is where I belong. So how do we belong? Where do we belong? We belong to ourselves, primary. But we have family that we belong to. Coming from another country, when I returned back to my homeland, where I was born and raised, and where the majority of my family are, everybody besides my kids and grandchildren, there is that sense of belonging there too, sense of being able to go back and visit and become a part of that. And I often think of my grandmother, on my father's side in particular, who gave birth to my father 3 days after they arrived in Sydney, Australia, from sailing out from England. But not only do I think of her having to endure the sea voyage while pregnant, and also having four other children, as well, little ones, there was that awareness you could never return. You were throwing your lot into a new world and a new life, and you wouldn't be able to go back like I do when I'm playing a lot to see my family. Or like this summer, my sister is coming up here to see me. I'm very proud of her. She's 82, and she's going to get on that airplane and come. She will be here at the end of the month. And it's like knowing that belonging in that family to do things that we do in that sense of belonging. Then there's also that sense when we hear a lot about friends, as Trisha's many friends that I have made here, and thank goodness they come to my few gatherings that I have in the year, and people who have come to study with me, and things. We belong as a group, so we recognize recognition. How do we recognize where we belong? I have to tell you, when I first landed in Rome, and I talk about this in my book, Many Lives, Many Ways of Remembering Them, it was like when I flew into Rome a few years ago for the very first time, I can honestly say I truly felt I was going home. I couldn't believe it, the feeling that came over me. It was like, I've come home. And I went, now I know I've had a lot of Roman lives. So I sat down a few days later. I was only there about 5 days, but I sat down a few days later. And I said, okay, how many lifetimes have I had here? 27. So it was very familiar in the sense of going home. And that feeling, because I would have thought when I go back to New Zealand, I have that sense of homeland and feeling, and I do enjoy going back there. But this valley, this city in particular for me, has that same sense. I have no desire to go anywhere. So then, pray tell, why do I set up a schedule which has me away a lot? I must have been nuts last fall when I sat down to think about what I was going to do this spring. Now, I know I'm not 40 anymore, but I tell you, when I came home from Vancouver, which was at Easter, I was supposed to have a few more days where I was going to go visit my daughter. She has a place on an island, Keats Island, and I was going to spend Easter with her. And I had been away already 2 weeks. And I tell you, I was exhausted. And she actually let me off the hook. She said, you're pretty exhausted, aren't you, Mum? And I said, yep. She said, well, why don't you go home? So as I was going to say, I can't do this. I can't do any more days away. I need to get home and just rest. Because I knew within a couple of weeks again, I would be leaving again. So you see, when I was putting this together in December, before I went to New Zealand for 3 weeks, before I came back and went off to study in Regina, before I was off to Seminama Trail, that was in my... I had set up that I would have things to do every month. Except we forget, I misplaced that you also need time to rejuvenate. And so when I'd come home, it would be like recuperate. Like, gee, I'm a little tired. Oh, well, I'll just take it easy, which I thought I was doing. But when I was away in Victoria and Vancouver, I had long days. I would be leaving my friend's place, especially when I got back from Victoria to Vancouver. I would leave my friend's place somewhere between 9:30 and 10 in the morning and not get back till that time, if not midnight, on the night. And that night. So I would be on. And I got really tired. So by the time I came back here, and I have to say this, thank goodness it was a sunny weekend. I was even so tired that I'd been away for 2 weeks, so there was not very much food, he said, in the house. And the thought of going around to shop was way too much. The thought of doing anything was way too much. So I just went and grabbed a couple of things that I could and went home and sat, and I sat outside on my front porch mostly because my back wasn't cleared by then, in the sunshine, reading a book and soaked up because I was home. So can we perhaps make the equation of home equals belonging? And now a lot of people have homes they don't feel they belong in them. Now if you haven't been to my house recently, when I was in Alberta for again, nearly 2 weeks, I had my kitchen redone. And since Christmas, I did my consulting room, then I did my office, and then I did my guest bedroom for my sister, and now I've done the kitchen. Now, I didn't do all that painting. I did some of that painting, especially in the last bit, because I realized, you all know Ted Lund said to me, you're pretty tired, let me do the guest bedroom for you. Because I was like, oh my goodness. Because I like painting and I enjoy decorating. Because that's where I'm belonging, but my kitchen is my glory. So those of you who can come to this, you'll see it as you come into the place for the different events that are going on now there. And I think some of you are here and you'll agree, it's nice. Much better than what it was, that's for sure. So it's like, what do we do in that sense of that belonging in the external? Now let us move into the internal. Where do we belong inside of ourselves? By the way, how many of you here saw Oprah's last show? A good few of you. I was very moved by it. I had taped it, but I wasn't necessarily going to watch it except my daughter who said, oh, Mom, you go to sit down and watch Oprah. Where are you at Oprah's last show? So actually it worked out that I sat down and watched it because I'd already pre-taped it. But anyway, so I watched it. Such grace, such honor, and such wonderful clarity. And you know, it's always something to watch when a person starts speaking words that you know are true for you. And one of the elements that she touched on was that ended up with deserving, that you deserve to have. And it is something that I have seen in myself, that I worked with, had to work with. It is something that I especially see in a lot of my clients, is that we don't feel we're worthy. And if we don't feel we're worthy, we don't feel that we deserve. Now, why is that, we might ask? Now, because I've been privileged enough to be able to look at people's past lives or other dimensions, look at where their soul comes from, look at Akashic records, what I begin to see is that we make these decisions about who we are and what we are based on something that we do where we failed. I'm not going to talk about those great things where we didn't fail. Where we failed. Where we let other people down. Where because of our actions, people got wiped out. I just had a consultation last night where this lady says, I feel there is something you need to tell me about a past life. This is right near the end of our time together, and I went, Okay. Yeah, I can see that. You're standing on a hill directing some troops to go in one direction. You know how a lookout does? You know, go this way. And they all got killed. It happens. She wasn't to know. She didn't do it deliberately to set them off to go somewhere to get killed. And so what is the answer to these things that we do? What is the answer to that? Where we can become and let ourselves belong in our wonderful world, and especially with ourselves, without having pieces of ourselves all over the place that are not unified. The biggest answer I've ever found, besides the connection to the source, is self-forgiveness. To forgive what we have done. Now, isn't that always what everyone always talks about? So how come we find it so hard to do? I have a client right now down in the southern U.S. who is riddled with fear, and clear loads of fear, loads of all that stuff, and yet she will not let go. But what is the bottom line of the fear? Every time, I know myself and many others that work with her have thought we've got it, she goes back. To be so afraid of one's own power, to be so afraid to be able to walk on this planet in love, peace, joy, knowing that you deserve to be here because you are here. Yes, we've screwed up. Yes, we've done things wrong. Gosh, I screwed up just the other week. You know, like, we do these things. Some of them have monumental repercussions in the world. And some, on the other hand, that we never seem to look at, is where we did great things. Where we did great creative works. Where we inspired thousands of people. Do we look at those? Often not. We look at where we didn't do well. Now, when I was studying my spiritual prosperity with Edwin Gaines, I mean, this is a lot of years ago, and she said to me, and I know I've said this here before, but it's always worth repeating, she had said to me, the one thing to do every day is forgive yourself. And in my young ignorance, I thought, well, because I'd already had experience of forgiveness, and I felt I was totally clear. Like, what? But then I got a little older and a little wiser and realized she was correct. Because one thing, if those of us that have gratitude journals or anything, but it's like, forgive yourself for what you didn't feel that you were right on the money or 100%, or if you're like me, you say the wrong thing at the wrong time. That's something I still tend to do without thinking. Words will come out of my mouth and go, oh, what did I say that for? I've gotten better, but I'm still not perfect on that line. So it's like knowing that, to forgive, so that we can feel that essence of belonging to the greater spirit. We know, each one of us, the day is going to come when we leave this body. This wonderful host that we have, that we abuse in many thousand different ways. I think chocolate cake was yesterday. We do, because we're not really paying attention to what the body really needs, but it's hosting us. It's hosting the spirit. We make demands of it. We have people, I have another client who has a lot of trouble right now with her physical body because it's petrified of what the mind keeps demanding of it. In other words, it's one of those, when she's feeling well, she goes, and then collapses. So the body now doesn't want anything. Every time the mind thinks of doing anything, it goes into spasm. The psychological principle. How is the connection between our mental and emotional and our physical? It is on all the time. Now, I haven't even talked about that spiritual connection, because when we feel that we do not deserve, when we feel that we are unworthy, we are not going to be connected to the spirit, to God, to that universal love force, whatever name you want to call it. Doesn't matter the name, the energy that is there. The alignment of that. the moving through, the feeling that often I get that just keeps me motivated to keep doing the work, to keep traveling on, to clear myself more and more and more. Just when I think I'm getting really clear, it's like another layer comes up. Oh my goodness. But we're eons old. Whether we have it from the genetics, whether we have it from our soul. Now let's talk about belonging in the sense of belonging to Earth. Once I started working with souls of people, once I started looking at where the soul comes from and what the effects the soul has in relation to the present, one of the elements that surprised me greatly was how many people who are here, obviously, because they're here, didn't want to be here originally. Didn't come with any enthusiasm. Didn't come because they really wanted to experience Earth and the emotionality. And those of you that have heard me speak know I talk about how this is an emotional planet. And we need to know what those feelings are. And we don't deny those feelings, but we just acknowledge them and let them go so that we can be present in the moment. But when you start off coming on a journey that you don't want to be on. Now, I remember as a child, about 12, maybe a bit older, maybe 13, 14, I was with my parents in a car. And for some reason, I was a little bit moody as a child, unfortunately. And I don't know why this memory came up, but I guess it's in relation to this, because I didn't really want to be sitting in the back of the car. And my mother happened to say, look at that lovely scene out there. And we were going through a country where they had just harvested the hay, and there was green and browns and everything. And I made some grumble remark. And she just turned around to me and said, what is the matter with you? What was the matter with me? I was where I didn't want to be, but I was there. And actually, I remember, see how important that is? Because even after all these years, I remember that particular little scene. It's locked in there because I was not present. I was not enjoying the view that we were seeing in this country that has magnificent views as we do here. Because I was locked in my own feelings of I don't want to be here. Now some people come into this whole exchange in this planet like that. They come in with grief. They come in with sorrow. That's before they've even got here. And then they wonder why they don't seem to be able to get out. They don't really belong in this sphere. To me, that's sad. At the same point, I'm glad that we're able to clear a lot of that and reconnect, remake the connection so the soul begins to soar in the absolute knowingness that this is a place to be and that you can be happy, that you can enjoy, that you're here, so you might as well get on the bandwagon, you know? Oh, but I don't want to be here, or I was sent here, or I, whatever. So, you're here now. So let's get on with it. Let's make things happen. Let's make things work. Let's have your life work. I had a friend phone me last night. And we go back a long, long way. And he said to me, I said, oh, how are you doing? You know, how are you doing? Polite little, how are you? What's happening? What's going on? He said, I just wish I hadn't had the last 6 years. Now I know he's been through a tough journey. So we talked a little bit more, and then finally said, I really think I need a reading. I need to have some direction here. And I'm like, great, okay. Thursday night, 7 o'clock, okay. Talked about a few more details that I need, and that's it. But you know, that to me is the first, because he's talked about this to me often. I think I should have a reading because I don't know what's going on. I think I should have a reading. But until he said, I want to have a reading, now I think we can do something. And I know on Thursday night, then we can maybe take a look at what really has been bringing this in. Because there's got to be, for 6 years, a long pattern. It's double, usually 3 years we can go through those things of 6 years. He's been made blind, got sight back, made himself blind again. Just amazing things. Lady steps off the sidewalk in a dark night and he hits her. Gets blamed for it. ends up all sorts of things. Just one thing. It's almost like, you know, that those punching bag things that every time the thing comes back up, you punch it and it falls down. That's how life has been with them. It's like every time it gets up, bang, down you go again. So what causes that? What brings that on? Is to be able to find out what it is that we are carrying. Because in metaphysics, we talk about that we do create and bring things. But it doesn't mean we beat ourselves up for it when it doesn't work. But it does mean we need to look at what is it that what is bringing that in. What is it on the soul? What is it on in the essence or maybe the genetics? Sometimes the genetic lines coming through. The absolute intriguingness to me is how to bring that together. So that once more you come in alignment and you can feel that peacefulness. So let's talk about peace. A couple of you there were yesterday and we were talking, the question came up. Why can't we have world peace? Why don't we have world peace? There's enough of us sitting around thinking about it, meditating on it, doing it, and creating it. My answer is until we have peace within ourselves, can't possibly have world peace. Because we create what's on the outside. And how many of us, even sitting here, can actually claim that we live 24/7 in internal peace, where we feel everything is at one? I know for myself, I shift in and out. I can feel really together, feel really like I belong into everything. I'm at one, my heart is open, it all flows, and then something comes along, and then it's like that's out the window for maybe a minute, maybe an hour, maybe a day, maybe a week. Then finally we get back to center again and the process begins. The other thing to think of is everything is a vibration. You are a vibration, which is why us psychics can read you. Because we can tune into that vibration. And that vibration that you're on shows you where you're at. Shows you what's happening. And if you maintain that vibration without shifting it, that is what occurs. But shift the vibration, everything can change and shift. That's one reason I do what I do, because if it was a fatalistic thing that said this is just the way it is, I don't think I could do my work that way. I've got to know that there's a possibility for people to change the patterns that they create. I've got to know for myself I can change those patterns. Because there have been times in my life when I've banged my head against the wall a lot. And then finally coming back into, okay, what's the basic point? What is the line? Where does it go? What does it do? So the peacefulness is that we need to be with that. But back on the vibrational. When you're angry, it has an energy about it. And very often, when we're angry, we present thoughts that are very strong. Now, the unfortunate thing with anger is that it's a little, I'm going to use the word dirty. And if you're looking at an energy, it's dark red. But if we clean out that dark red, guess what it becomes? It becomes passion. Because it has strength and vibrancy with it. So many often, So very often when we're wanting peace, we're doing it in nice light blue, wonderful scents, up here, it's all lovely. But what about down here? So the key is to be able to bring that peace down and be able to utilize it with a passionate force. The combination of both. The combination of how that works. It's because we're in a loftier vibration, because there's no judgment here, it's just what works and what doesn't work. We bring it down with that same thought and have energy behind it, it's much more effective. That's how we create. To create an environment that says, yes, this is how it works. This is what it becomes. So that we can create an environment where we know that we belong. See, because I created such a horrendous schedule for myself, and I did it. I was the one that planned it, put it together, executed it. is that what I almost forgot what I was going to say now. Tippers, don't do that very often. I had two thoughts come into my brain at once, and then it went absolutely void. Where was I? So we'll forget that for a moment. In the sense of the execution of my plan, yes. And I still don't know where I was going with that, but anyway, I'll just pick up a thread somewhere in here. Because we want to be able to create, so excuse my kind of blankness there, because we wanted to be able to create an environment. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Because I was so busy, I began to think about, you know, when I first came here, because I don't look back a lot, because one thing I learned was not to look back a lot, but I used to have time. I was here most Sundays. I had time to go to karaoke. I had time to go for this, that, or the other. All of a sudden, I feel like no time. And I'm a person that really learned how to manage time a long time ago. And I went, what is the difference besides being busier? And a lot of it was, it's because I'm not here. When I first came here, if you remember, I hadn't had any of my surgeries that I ended up having in the first 3 years. I wasn't walking well. I couldn't get around much. I didn't have much energy, per se. I was kind of a bit of a sad sack in lots of ways. And since then, I have just gotten better and better health-wise. So guess what we do? We then add on all the things to do, right? Because you feel good, and you can do them. So one of my inner commitments to myself is to make it in the, when as I look toward to the full, I have my tips of coming up in a different form to make it a little easier so I can get back to do the things I really enjoy. Because if you are happy, if you feel fulfilled, if you feel peaceful, if you feel a sense of being, you will feel like you belong. Because you will create that environment. And it doesn't matter whether you have one or two people in your life or hundreds of people in your life. It's about feeling good when you wake up in the morning for whatever is happening or going on. Are you comfortable with yourself? When I first came, the place where I live needed a lot of work, and we're finally getting there. The backyard, to sit out there and listen to the birds, watch the flowers grow, the birds coming to the bird feeder. I'm just waiting for more sun. Pop out in a moment. It's like that brings a pleasance, and you begin to realize how much we fit in and belong in the bigger picture. You watch nature at play. You watch the expression. Now, how do we are part of nature? Our bodies are from the earth. They go back to the earth, one way or the other. We have sprung. And sometimes we forget that because we're so caught up in our spiritual journey of soul progression. But our bodies reflect so much of what's happening and going on so that we can rejoice in the beingness of life. That we can take in that wonderful, excellent element that we call Earth, and we can allow it to infiltrate every aspect of our life. Because Earth is part of the whole thing. But it's also an integral part because it's where we are. And if we want to belong here, we need to accept here. We need to be here. Now, I'm a little bit early in my own self-imposed schedule, because what I wanted to do, as often I have done, I wanted to work with you to, if anybody has, to know what is it they need to shift to feel that they belong more. Whether it is belonging more to themselves, to God, to the planet, it doesn't matter. But is there anything that one needs to do? Is there something we need to let go of? Is there something that we need to pull towards? So I'd like to be able to spend the next 15 minutes doing this, if that's all right with you. So how we're going to do this is we're just going to close our eyes for a moment. If you haven't seen me do this, we'll see how it works. I want you just to think of belonging. However that shows up for you, what that word means to you, I belong. And then I want you to take a breath And I want you to create in your mind three numbers between 1 and 22. And then you can open your eyes. Now, I'm going to sometimes have difficulty these days remembering three numbers, but we'll see how we do. So who would like to know what it is they need to shift or do? And please, somebody put their hands up. Anybody? Okay, Lynn. Three numbers.
13, 17, and 23.
Okay. So what that tells me is that you have the knowledge and the awareness, and it's kind of like a road. You just walk on it day by day by day, and it's about choices and creation and happiness. The only thing is like enjoy every moment because it's there. I don't feel like, I don't know if there's water in here. Here we go. There's no real big thing. Just keep on doing what you're doing, choosing joy, choosing love, choosing those things. And that's really nice. Okay, anyone else? I'll work from here and we'll go around this way. Yes?
1, 18, and 20.
Okay, what I see here is for you everything is possible for what you wanted to create, but there's these little niggly fears that come out. And sometimes those are not always recognizable. You know, fears are not always recognizable. In fact, they usually come through as being very logical. That's what it took me years to figure out. That fears often represents itself as total logic. So it's a matter of acceptance, your connection, and just basically, I want to say, flip those logic things, you know, that says, oh yeah, but do away. Because then what you'll find, it'll be there. Does that make sense? Good. Okay, Brenda.
1, 11, and 22.
So again, now number one, so those of you who know me, I'm relating these back to the higher arcana of the tarot my way. So it's the one is the magician, because you both got one, is everything is possible. Everything is possible to create and to do. The 11 says commitment to the journey, and 22 is then you can create it. So in other words, it's like, where do you put your emphasis? How do I want that emphasis to work out? Do I want that emphasis to work out or not? So it's your commitment to that journey that's going to make it work or not work. It's about you. It's for you, about you, how it works. It's not like something like saying, oh, here's the door. This is it. It's like that commitment to what we want to create and what we want to do. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes?
1, 3, and 7.
1, 3, and 7. Oh, lots of Wednesdays. Wednesdays don't always show up. 1, 3, 7. To me, what this is, again, everything's possible. You've got all the tools you require. It's the energy and the love behind it, because it means letting go of some of the old parameters. So let me just talk about some of the old beliefs and structures that we have. A lot of us here are the age where we grew up in Christian mythology, and there has within that a lot of restriction, unfortunately. Some of the basic tenets were great, but there was a lot of old stuff. Then you couple that with parents who were raised the generation before, who also went through things like wars, depressions and stuff, and their beliefs and structures that we took in. And what I see here is that you've got everything that you require, but you've got all this other, and I have to be careful with my language, I was going to say garbage. The old stuff that's hanging on. That it's like unhooking yourself from that because it's not workable anymore. And allow yourself freedom to be the light that you can be. Because it's in that light that you can come into that knowing place and create. Remember, we talked about deserving and being. You deserve to have it. It says that with the one number, it says you deserve to have that. You've got all the keys. You need to know it in here. You need to know it in the depth of yourself that you are important and you do deserve it. So let go of the old stuff, because it's not helping you to belong, to create that which you can create. Okay?
Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
1, 7, and 9.
I love having lunch. That's great. Everything is possible for you. And again, the 7 always talks about the letting go of the past. And it's like letting go of the structures, because the answer lies within you. Now, I always say we know our own answers, and number 9 was the one that taught me that. And it's like, if we go listen, sometimes the answer goes a little against what we want or what we think we want, and it's like we have to trust. I see this as a process for you right now to come to that place, is for you to trust and to know in that trusting that you will create, and then it will be there for you. It feels like a beautiful orb in my hand. And it reminds me of a picture of a goddess or fairy, it's more goddess energy, and it's holding this orb where everything is contained in it. But that's the thing, it's contained in it. It's a dream. We need to let it go and allow it to sparkle down and become a reality. Make sense?
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes? What is your people?
1, 11, 21.
It must have sparked something in this audience. 1, 11? Okay. 11, 21. All things are possible for you is again. And what this tells me actually is that you've come to a place where you really have a lot of awareness and knowledge. But the 11, that's right, it wasn't 11, wasn't it? 21. The 11 says that you need to commit to a specific path. And the path really relates to you. It's like, you've got it, you know it, but how am I executing that? How am I making that so that it brings everything together? Because when it brings everything together, then you're going to find that it's going to work really, really well. So commitment. Commitment is one of those things that took me a long time to recognize. We can make decisions. Doesn't necessarily mean we commit to them. I do that all the time. Oh, well, I'm going to do this every day. Last 2 days. I decided it, but I didn't commit to it. So that's what I want to share with you. I want to go back further and get around. Okay, Ellie?
7, 14, and 21.
The letting go of the old and utilizing and balancing you within your life in order to create what you want. It's about, to me, it's about blending all the different elements that you have in your life. Not the past, not what has gone on before, but rather what you know and how it is. Because no matter what, we have to deal with what is. Metaphysics doesn't teach us to be pie-in-the-sky people. It says, be practical. What is, is. Now, how can you affect the change of that isness? How do you affect the change to make that work? Okay? Because it's there. I'm just going to just hop around the back and come back and make sure. Yes?
1, 5, 22.
It's use what you know. Have faith in what you know. It's like you know it, but you're not executing it. So you need to have more faith in the knowledge of what you know. You understand what I'm saying there? Because it's like if you don't, you can have all the theory and you want. But if you do not apply it into your life, how do you know it really works? Because what may work for me may not work for you, or may not work for Ellie, or may not work for Christina. But it may work for you. And that's what I used to find. I used to go to these courses when I first started learning. Listen to these teachers, they'd tell me things, I would go home, they didn't work. So what I used to do then was I'd figure out how come it didn't work. And what I found was a lot of people were just stating what other people had written. They had never really practiced, it was just stuff they said, oh, this works. But they'd miss an ingredient. So what I teach is because I know it worked for me. So it's not theory. It's because it worked, because I spent years figuring out how things work. And that's what I want to say to you. If it works for you, that's all you need to be concerned about. Whether anyone else agrees, I have ideas nobody agrees with when I first start. I'm given these thoughts. And then I just go look at them, figure them out, and then I start putting them out there. And after a while, people go, oh yeah, that begins to make sense. So same thing here. I'm going to write at the very back. Yes. Yep, you.
5, 12, 17.
Sometimes knowledge comes in different ways. And what I see mostly here is about acceptance of your own individuality and trusting what you know. And so it's like there's some gaps. You know, sometimes when we go and study and we learn, or we read a book here, or we hear something here, or we do that, and we have, it's like little gaps. We have the knowledge, but it doesn't always come together totally. But it says, rely on what you know inside. Rely on what you know and feel is right for you, because then it will come together. Okay? It's like you're on the right track, you just need to pull it together more and trust it and utilize it. Okay? I'm just going to come over here further. Yep, I'm just coming over this way.
Okay.
Just hang on here. Yeah, Maureen?
17, 3, and 19.
Again, knowledge is here. Knowledge is applied, applicable, workable, doable, very easy.
And it's about getting your heart involved in it. Because when you get your heart involved in it, then you can progress to the new or the next, if you want to call it, level. We're talking about vibrations. I used to do in my readings, when I did them a different way, they often would I know nothing about music, but they would play out like chords of music. And sometimes chords would feel and sound beautiful, and some they would found, you know, that wouldn't be. And then that's because of the vibration. So it's like we change the vibration of the life. So what we see here is through your heart, through the love, then you progress into a new vibration. Because that's what it says. I'm going to go right back over there. I'm going to do some more. I've still got time, so we've got lots of time here. Brenda?
8, 11, and 16.
8, 11, and 16. Jeepers, since we left this side, we know more ones, right? 8, 11, 16. 8. It just shows applying what you know to your life. Again, the commitment issue. The commitment of being, because it's like, do we want to seem appear different, or do we want to take some time from here and apply it there? I had to learn there was 24 hours in a clock, and that when I eventually had to make choices that to do this, I could not do that. And so it's like choices, commitments to what is more important. So when we take a look at this whole stance of how do I belong, how do I get that place of knowing no matter where I go, I belong, is about you just committing to being here right now, every time, wherever I am. Okay? Nancy?
3, 7, and 11.
So even though people give me the same numbers, I've got to just put it into the vibration. To me, it's like the heart. Coming from the heart, being from the heart, and as you move forward, letting go, then there is that full commitment to, comes forward like a rejoicing of a being, like a flower rising. And my irises are all out right now, and they're just so beautiful. And it's like that springing forth that comes forward, but it's like that final commitment to that springing forth. It's like, here I am, here I am. Take it or leave it. Yeah, kind of thing, you know what I mean? Yeah, so that's what I see for you, growth and progress. Yes?
9, 11, and 17.
Sorry, what was the first one?
9.
Okay, 11 and 17. Answer lies within you, this is the 11 side, to commit to your own being. Okay, what I see here is that when it's like you have the answer, but it's like, what do I do with it? How do I place that? How do I have that manifest into my life? So it would be, if I'm going to go back to the vibrational element, if I have this thought that's here, how do I manifest it here in this vibration? Because that's what I see here. Is that it's like bringing the what you know, because you know it. How do we make that manifest in a material way to know we belong and it manifests? Because for here, it's about the manifestation of all for you. And to allow that to come through, to decide that's going to be there. And I just think it's just a matter of like changing the dial a little bit, but the same knowledge in a different way. Does that make sense? Good. I'm glad it does, because otherwise I'd explain it a bit more. Okay, Wyndham.
3, 7, and 21.
Basically, they say there's all you have to do is just be you. Because you've got the heart, you've got the sense, you're letting go of the old, you're letting go of the dictates of how it's supposed to be, so that you can relax and be in the now and bring it all together. So I just want to pat you on the back. So just keep going, you're doing good. Yeah.
1, 11, 22.
1, 11, 22. Everything is possible when you commit and go by faith. So you know, there's a book out, which I didn't write, called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff. Just be committed to the journey that you're going, and certainly do not worry what other people are saying or thinking. It just move it through. Okay? Easy. Yes, Elsie?
7, 13, and 5.
This is all about change for you. And it says, use the knowledge that you know Because in order to have it all work in a very effective way, it's really about utilization and giving yourself time for something to really kick in. And that's utilizing knowledge, utilizing time. So we want to mix knowledge and time together. We want to bring time and knowledge together so that you walk your path with ease. Knowing where you're heading, knowing what you want, knowing what's going to show up. But it's, so it's not, here's my knowledge and here's time. It's like knowledge and time together to produce a sense of belonging. Okay? Yeah, I'm coming here. There's one more and then you.
1, 5, and 20.
This is about knowing that what you know is what you know. That when you receive it, downloads, you work. Yeah, so funny.
Yeah, all those years I was downloading and didn't know that's what it was.
When you download that information that you have, it doesn't seem to have any relevancy, it is important. And it does relate to you, and you just use it. You understand what I'm talking about? It's like, you know, it's not going to be what the mainstream is, but that's okay, because it's for you, and it's workable, and it shows that the connection is there, and it really works well. Okay, Herman, your turn now.
5, 7, and 1.
5, 7, and 1. When we have an understanding and a knowledge of what is for us, who we are, what we stand for, and we let go the confines of how we think that's supposed to appear, everything is possible to create. So in other words, you have all the keys. So now you just have to open the door. Forward, not back, not the past, but forward. So you've got the keys, but if you don't open the doors and go forward, then you don't get what you want, right? You stand still. And then it's the same old thing that comes around and around. The key for you is action, to do what it is you need to do.
I have to talk to you after, because something happened to me.
Something happened to you?
Yeah.
Why don't you like it?
Okay, tell you what happened. Last week was a hockey game.
I think we won.
Okay.
Yes.
And I came home, I have an alarm in my house.
Yes.
And I turned the alarm off to get into the house, and then I sat down and I watched the hockey game. But while I watched the hockey game, two people came into my house and cleaned out two shelves of cereal. Mm-hmm. So they took about $200.
So you gave your share to the world then, one way or another.
Pardon me?
So you gave your share out into the world. There's many ways that we contribute.
I know, but I mean, you go pay the stuff, and they just take it.
There is the theory and spiritual prosperity that if you do not give one way, it'll be taken basically in another way, and it's a hard theory. But it's like when you look at rejoicing, when you look at sharing, when you look at coming from your heart, it's like whoever took that, bless them, at least they didn't hurt you. Sometimes when we have things happen like that, the person gets hurt. You were not hurt. You've got to look at the plus of that, okay? That's what's important, the letting go. There's the letting go that needs to be let go. It's done. Let's move on into the next thing, okay? Got it? Think about it.
I'm not totally agree with you because...
Oh, I understand you may not agree
because,
with me.
you see, I take chelation right now.
Right.
There are two more people I pay to take chelation.
Right. I understand. No, I understand what you're saying, but sometimes we have to look at things from a different perspective. And that's what I get paid to do, is to look at things from a perspective, to put them into a different sense of where they come, rather than how could they do this? Because I need this for over here. Okay? I'm just going to leave that for now. You jam. We've got to go a few more of you.
7, 9, 4.
Well, it's about change, but it also is about listening and knowing that you know your own answers and just sort of like relaxing into that. Because sometimes the 4 can be a little bit stubborn and set. maybe not trust. It's like, no, you know, just trust, just, I want to just relax it all. Just be easy with it. It's all there. Just relax a little bit easy. Okay, yeah. We're right at time. You all right?
3, 7, and 22.
Three, lots of enjoyment as you move forward in faith, because in that creativity, abundance actually, moving forward in faith. And that's the key, is to have faith. Having faith is not always easy. Because if you're like me at all, you want to know, right? I want to know that ledge is out there. I want to know what's coming. I want to know that I'm secure. I don't like that. Oh, I don't know. But that's our control and that's our fear. So it's like moving into that faith. Again, the philosophical, someone said to me the other day, well, it's really easy for you to say that. You know, you make it sound so easy. And sometimes it may sound that way philosophically. It may not be that easy, but at the same point, we need to have that faith. And that's that knowing, that connection of knowing that we belong and we will be given it because we deserve it. If we deserve it, we'll allow it in. Marianne, I've got two more and then that's it. I'm way over time. I'll give you in a minute.
Okay. 7, 9, and 8.
7, 9, and 8. Well, again, changing, but listening to yourself, because you have the strength and you have the forbearance to do what you need to do in order to have everything work. It's kind of like keeping on, keeping on. Okay? Quickly.
10, 20, 33.
10, 20, and 33. I know the number. Yeah, I know. We don't worry about it. change. Acceptance of change as you come into being in totally in your own sense of your own self, basically. Acceptance is your key today. Well, I went a little bit over time. I hope you forgive me for that. Thank you.